What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. Coming up this hour on the show in 20 minutes. Are things already getting sideways with the Raiders as they normally do? Your advanced analytics and your epic fail. Your poll question behind analytics. Does Brian Kelly know he's lying when he says, I would never say something like we'll beat the heck out of Florida State? And then instantaneously, almost like he didn't say it on his own radio show last week, the audio surfaces. Does he forget he said it, or does he just like lying? Vote in the poll question. We'll update poll answers coming up later on in the hour. Also, today's been a day filled with controversy, scandal, and theorizing here on the DA show, which is really the good stuff, isn't it? Pat Boyle claims he slept through an alarm because his phone detached from his charger. It died. He never woke up. He was an hour late into the show, showing up at 7 a.m. Eastern time. That's 4 Pacific. Luckily for him, Pete the Body's not in today, but he's been forced to buy us breakfast, which they're doling out behind the scenes right now. But ultimately, he's in the running for the full-time job here, and people are wondering already, scuttlebutt abounds, whether this will negatively affect his candidacy for the position. Before any of that, Deion Sanders. I mentioned this yesterday. I am interested to see if the Deion Sanders momentum carries into the regular season when the NFL starts. Kind of the perfect storm for Deion. He took over a job at the Power Five, which was desolate. One win last year. Kind of a school without a home. They were the Big 12. Now they're the Pac-12, going back to the Big 12. A couple of years of just awful football. And he gets to clean house, because when you take over a one-win team, you don't really have to defend not cleaning house. Goes to the transfer portal, gets all of his kids, 75% of the roster transfer portal kids, has two elite players, one of which is his son who plays quarterback, the other plays wide receiver and corner, Travis Hunter, who was committed to Florida State before he flipped to Jackson State, which was a miracle in itself that Deion got him to go play at an HBCU when he could be a top first-round draft pick. But Deion then takes over this Colorado program. Very little is expected. He talks a big game. Again, little is expected. First game of the season doesn't happen again. Be scheduled against Coppin State. It's not like he's got some FCS school on the docket that he inherited. Schedules are made years in advance. Happens to have TCU. This is, again, scheduled well in advance, and it just so happens that last year TCU went to the national championship game, so they come into this year ranked. It's the first game of the season. TCU might not be very good this year, but they're ranked at the moment. It's an unknown commodity in Colorado. It's big noon kickoff on Fox. This isn't on ESPN3. This isn't impossible to find. The entire country gets to watch it on a holiday weekend, and it ends up being one of the best games of the college football season, potentially, and his team wins. It's also week one before the NFL starts, and so the regular opinion makers, talkers that don't really watch a lot of college football because they're so consumed by the NFL have 2 or 3 days to talk about Deion Sanders. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Really, by today, it's kind of over and on to tomorrow's kickoff between the Chiefs and the Lions. But there is a intensity right now of the Deion thing, because it's the perfect storm. And Deion is a Hall of Famer. that every football fan knows. Whether you're a college football fan, he was great at Florida State, or an NFL fan, he was great in the NFL. Everyone knows it. Everybody knows it. In fact, some people are just making up stories that don't even exist. I heard Mike Greenberg the other day talking about the story where he went to cover a Super Bowl and Dion told him and the rest of the assembled media, do something nice. And he went out and bought a suit jacket. And that didn't even happen because he cited that as being one of the Bills and Cowboys Super Bowls. And Dion wasn't on the Cowboys for either one of those Super Bowls. He was still on the Falcons. Didn't even happen. It must have been the Cowboys' last Super Bowl when Dion was there, or the Niners' Chargers Super Bowl when Dion played for them. But the point is, there's just kind of this intensity of the storytelling and the myth-making and the attention to Dion because people know Dion, even if they don't know college football. So I'm interested to see if Colorado is 4-4 in mid-November, if people are talking, or early November, people are talking about Colorado football. But I do genuinely get a kick out of this. I do genuinely enjoy this because I enjoy somebody who's taken something that was built a certain way for a long time and is kind of disassembling it. For years, football coaches have supposed to say things a certain way, do things a certain way, and, you know, they're paint by number for the most part. And Dion is saying there's a different way to do so. And let's see. Early returns are, he's right, but it could blow up in his face. But, you know, he is making things, he's leveraging his celebrity and notoriety for whatever happens to have a huge impact. Some people claim this is the revolution of college football. This is now the new start of every coach taking the transfer portal and just ripping up their roster for 75% new kids. And some insist this will blow up in his face. This could never work. The truth is always somewhere in between. I don't think we're at the precipice of a brand new revolution of college football. But yes, the transfer portal is going to be effective for a lot of coaches that take over a program and don't have their guys that they've recruited. But it's about more than that. That's an element of this for Dion. But it's really not the thing. Because if Billy Napier takes over Florida and says, I don't like any of the guys that Dan Mullen had, I'm taking 75% out of the transfer portal, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. That's really not the secret to this sauce. The secret to the sauce is Deion Sanders happens to have a child because he's got amazing athletic DNA who is an elite cornerback playing the most important position on the football field, right? Deion's son isn't the punter. Deion's son, who has Hall of Fame NFL genes, plays quarterback. Dion, smart and savvy enough to get good assistant coaches around to maximize that. And he's got Travis Hunter, who was a five-star recruit going to go to Florida State, who has now attended Jackson State and Colorado, neither of which could have ever sniffed Travis Hunter unless Dion Sanders was there. And Hunter plays 100 and some odd snaps on both sides of the football. So you're maximizing the best athlete on the football field on both sides of the ball. Again, Travis Hunter doesn't only play running back, so he can't stop anybody. He gets to play wide receiver for the best quarterback on the field potentially, and he gets to shut down the number one wide receiver. Get a huge pick in this game. There's also talent here at really important positions. But even that's not the secret sauce. The secret sauce is the other 50 guys that have to contribute on Saturdays want to be there desperately because they believe in Dion and doing what Dion says. So why? Why are these guys following Dion? The celebrity of Dion? Well, that's part of it, I think. It's really damn cool when your head coach is a flashy, flamboyant, image-conscious NFL Hall of Famer. That's very, you know, magnetic. But I want to play for you a clip that Dion said to Pat McAfee the other day. And I said, that right there is the difference in why this can work for Dion.
I want my kids to have fun. I want them to do stuff. I don't give a darn if we 21 points up, get the penalty. Do your dance, baby. What? I got you. I mean, I love what I do, and I do what I love, and I love these darn kids, man. I want them to go pro. I want them to get the degrees. I want them to be assets to the communities. I want them to be great fathers, great sons. Like, I want so much for these kids. I want them to understand financial literacy. I want so much for these kids, and they love it. And they know I've had my turn. Baby, I'm your navigational system. I'm your guy in the corner in the ring. I'm telling you left, right, left, duck. Okay, that's Sue Ryan. That's Chad Jab. Like, that's who I am.
I mean, talk about nailing it. Talk about checking every single box. Number one, if we're up 21 points and you want to do your dance, I got you. We're going to get flagged. I got you. What coach ever says that? If we're up 21 and you want to celebrate and we get a penalty, I'll defend you. Okay. Flip side of that is parents might go, I don't want my son learning that. And he goes, I want them to be leaders in the community. I want them to have financial literacy. I want them to be good dads. Oh, now suddenly the parents can feel good about sending their kid to Dion's school because Dion's also teaching them the things that they want to teach their sons. Feels ethical. Feels important. Also, a kid or a family might be like, I'm trying to get paid. I need to help mom. I need to help dad. I need to help grandma. I want to be rich. And he's going, I'm your navigational system because I've done it. I got rich. I can tell you how to get rich. I'm in your corner going, do this, do that, do this. I'm your navigational system to getting rich. Okay, so you're going to let me have fun. You're going to defend me when I do stupid things. Mom's going to love the messaging of I'm going to become a good dad and a good leader and financially literate. And you're going to help me get rich. And you've done it. Why would you say no to that pitch? What would be the reason? You don't even have to know where Boulder, Colorado is. Yes, all of that sounds perfect to me. That's the secret. And only Dion is right now willing to say all of those things because he's Dion. He can get away with it. You get a flag and we're up 21 points. I don't care. I got you. He can help. He can tell his guys, one guy fights, everybody fights. Don't walk out of this scrum. Everybody's in on this. Only Dion can say that. But only Dion has the celebrity and the equity to be like, I've done this before. I made it out of my hood, and I went pro, and I got rich. Look, I'm successful. How many guys? I brought up Billy Napier. Napier can't go into a guy's household and be like, I can help you get rich. What's the evidence? Not to pick on Billy Napier. I'm just taking him as kind of this, you know, the stand-in for any college football coach. That's it. That right there is it. And people are kind of missing that point. I talked about this yesterday. The belief, the buy-in. Dion's got 100% buy-in right now. Now, who knows? We get to, again, Halloween, and there's kids that aren't playing, or a kid that, you know, didn't get enough touches, and maybe there's dissension or whatever. But when you have 100% buy-in, and the charisma and celebrity of Dion, and the best two players of the team are the quarterback and a guy that plays both ways at wide receiver and corner, you should be probably pretty good. It's kind of crazy, but you've got a good chance of being good. I think it's great. I think it's fascinating. I think it's great. And Dion's not one of my favorite players ever. There's some of this where, especially people my age, I'm 44 years old, so Deion came of age when I was young and he was drafted by the Falcons when I was in, what, seventh grade or something like that. You know, there's a part of this where people just idolize Deion. I'm not really like that. I wasn't really ever a fan of how rambunctious or how self-centered he seemed to be. I was never really a fan of that. But I am interested and I admire and appreciate somebody such as Deion who is taking something that was done a certain way, which is so by the book, and saying, now there's a different way to do this. And maybe you could say the same thing about how he played corner, how he wanted to play wide receiver too, and he wanted to return punts, and he wore a bunch of jewelry, and in college, you know, he was flamboyant, and maybe he's always done it a little differently. But I'm not really attracted to this kind of mystique of Deion. I like the fact that he's kind of challenging convention on what a college football coach is supposed to be in 2023. When we come back, and by the way, I don't think anybody else can do this. I think there's going to be a lot of copycats and nobody else is going to be able to do this. You're going to see people try to do the Deion thing, and guess what? There's only one potentially greatest cornerback of all time who's coaching Division I football right now. You know, are you just going to take Champ Bailey and just now kind of make him a college football coach? Well, he doesn't have the same pizzazz as Deion. You're going to make Michael Irvin a college football coach? You would never trust Michael Irvin with your football program. Like, you got to thread a needle that Deion does, and good luck finding it again. I just think he's one of one. I do not think this is... You can replicate this. When we come back here on the show, Chandler Jones getting sideways with Josh McDaniels, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Haven't eaten in a year. Yeah.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the United States Postal Service. Introducing USPS Ground Advantage, reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping. United States Postal Service. Welcome back. You can hear us on the ever expanding CBS Sports Radio Network and also on Sirius XM channel 158. Mark tweets in, do you think Brian Kelly is college football's Mraz? No accountability for his own words and still keeps getting better and better jobs?
Huh. You put it that way.
I'll drop dead! I will drop dead without those burritos!
Timbo Slice, did Brian Kelly go full Mraz? You forced a lie! You forced a lie! It's incredible. I mean, you said it on the radio last week. Why would you ever say, I would never say that? You just said it. And there's tape of it. Pat Boyle's father tweets in, hopefully Pat brought you guys some alphabet cereal. Give the kid a break. He's carrying the PB boys with Pete the Beta being off of work this week. Mac and Bear from Delaware, I'm pro Pat Boyle. This was just a one-time thing. He's a grinder, all caps, and an original hard hat dude. Upside Down Mike, though, says, Boyle, I'll tell you what my grandpa used to say. You can't burn the candle at both ends.
That is that's a big time boomer expression.
Boomer likes to use that one?
No, just like boomers in general.
I see.
I don't like to use that term, blanket term, because I feel like it's condescending, but people of that generation.
Can't burn the candle at both ends. I'm wondering, has there ever been a candle that had a wick on the bottom as well?
That would be, I guess it would burn pretty quick.
It would. Burn from both ends. Art Bobart says, you talk about how Dion was so self-centered in the NFL. It seems to have carried over to his college career. It turns me away so much, he needs to turn it down. It's one win. Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of this. I mean, people are really, he grinds their gears because it is so in your face. But he's never not been that. So there's a lot of people that have been built up over the years of being annoyed by Dion's proclamations, no doubt. So the Chandler Jones story is interesting. It's kind of hard to tell whether Chandler Jones overreacted, but apparently he tried to work out over the weekend at the team facility, and the team facility was locked. And he went kind of crazy over it and ripped management and ripped coaches and the organization. Now, this is the second year of a three-year, $51 million deal that he signed before last season. And yesterday morning, he took to social media and posted this. F it. I don't want to play for the Raiders if that's my HC head coach or GM. I want Patrick Graham Ivy League bleep. This is a since-deleted Instagram story. He was referencing Josh McDaniels, the GM, and the Raiders defensive coordinator. He said, it's a shame I'm a top athlete with 112 sacks in the NFL, and I've got to go to a local gym to work out during the season for no apparent reason. This is wild to me. Josh, you know it is. You need to do what's right. Now, it was interesting because just a day earlier, Chandler Jones tweeted, can't wait to play this year. Feeling great in practice.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
So, two slightly different tones between 24 hours of social media tweets or posts.
Imagine if this was just like the custodial worker's fault who was supposed to, you know, just like locked up a door that he shouldn't. And Josh McDaniels wakes up at 8 a.m. to a series of just all caps texts from Chandler Jones ripping him.
Chandler also said, 5 years. They had direct contact to my BM, I assume business manager, and we ain't been together for 5 years. Some lady reporting to her about how I was at work when I don't even talk to her about work or anything person. Like, how you know my BM? And then, word provoked. And then he tweeted or posted on social, they won't let me in the building, trying to provoke me. Chandler Jones, if we remember, did once upon a time show up to a police station naked and out of it. This happened when he was a member of the Patriots. So there's been another curious event where Chandler Jones may or may not have known where he was and flipped out or something. Nobody really quite knew why he showed up naked to a police station. But this was like, whoa, this escalated quickly. This was about McDaniels, about the GM. It's about his business manager. He's got to go to a local gym to work out. He's been provoked. So who knows if Chandler Jones just having an episode of like wilding out or if the Raiders did drop the ball on something. But it does feel like this was a relationship like many that would end in some bizarre fashion for the Raiders. I mean, they have oftentimes shopped at the too old to be any good store and overpaid, and you wondered if that was Chandler Jones's reality coming into this season or this contract. I don't think the Raiders will be very good. They have a lot of holes, a lot of different places, and primarily because of the previous administration, they didn't build a very good roster. The Mike Mayock and John Gruden years were not very profitable from a talent standpoint. They had a couple of hits, like Crosby, like Jacobs, but a lot of misses as well. And so you're forced to overspend on guys of the free agent market, and maybe the Raiders had to do that with Chandler Jones, which has kind of been their history forever. But this feels very Raiders. a veteran near the end of his career, signs for big money, and then is openly hostile towards the people that gave him the money because the organization made a mistake of some sort. This is really quite on brand. Andrew Bogish is a kind sir. He has our headlines, and he's a huge fan of the Taco Bell breakfasts.
Mm.
And this morning, because Boyle was late to the show, his punishment was, at least the initial punishment for the moment, buying us breakfast. Now, Billy Jock went in for two crunch wraps, breakfast crunch wraps. He's crushing them like a Billy Jock should.
Mm-hmm.
Smiling, nodding his head. He's loving it. How was your breakfast?
It was delicious. And, you know, sodium intake aside, two is probably the correct number because that first one disappeared in a hurry. And I want like two more bites. I don't think I need a full second one. But I need like two more bites. Because again, it is...
Got an extra one for you, Bogues.
It is delicious.
And you've become a huge adopter. Once upon a time, it was never even on your radar.
Nope.
And now you run for the border every time you can for breakfast.
I mean, it is... Sausage, egg and cheese, McGriddle is still my number one. This is number two. And it grows. It grows every time I eat it.
It grows in your heart?
It's so good. It's so delicious. The patty, the sausage, the cheese, some kind of like Chipotle sauce, sprinkle a little Taco Bell hot sauce on top. That's hard to beat.
So you're feeling good, doing well.
So I'm feeling like I need to contact Boyle's roommates in case Boyle overcomes this and gets the job, throw in the occasional sabotage. Boyle late, Boyle forgets something. Punishment is always Taco Bell breakfast. Then I got to eat it. So everybody wins.
Do you believe his alibi?
Unfortunately, I do. I was hoping it was a little more of a sordid tale. Late night at the U.S. Open, where he had said yes to the girl who, you know, non-humble brag was going to twist and turn her schedule left and right just to get some Boyle time, just to simply fall asleep and somehow dislodge the power cord from his phone. It's likely, makes sense, but I wanted more.
Here's the bad job by Boyle, which I will sit down with Pete and I'm sure suss out at some point in time because this is definitely going to affect his grades going forward. But two big mistakes here. Number one, no secondary alarm clock for a 3:30, 4, 4:30 wake-up call. In this business, you just can't just bank on your phone because your phone, there's a million things that can go wrong. Off the charger, doesn't charge, dies. The volume's down when you think it's up. That has happened to me before. You're like, the alarm's going off, but I don't hear anything. It's because you silenced your phone when you were listening or watching a YouTube video right before you went to bed or something like that and didn't know. You can get wonky. So you had to do that. Second thing, though, is you trusted your phone when it had little juice to begin with. You must have plugged in your phone with 10 to 20% juice, which is the amount that it would take to die overnight. You know, you can't just trust a 10% phone. If you're going to bed, that's dicey. Really dicey.
Yeah, and it cost me. Paid the piper.
Cost you dearly.
May have cost me a job.
Wow, imagine. It feels a little bit like the top 25 poll,
Why are you laughing at that?
I don't know, because it's so stark and so bleak. The way you delivered it, but you also have a bag of hot Taco Bell breakfast and Cinnabon bites in front of you.
And the burner account that's supposed to be your dad just tweeted in hoping you brought out some alpha bits.
And when you deliver things seriously, sometimes it seems like they're super sarcastic. So
it cost maybe me a job. Maybe you don't care that it costs you the job. But this feels, again, a little like a top 25 vote, DA. Like, it feels like Boyle was Georgia, number one in the poll, had the best chance of the job, but maybe he just lost some first place votes. Now maybe some more first place votes are falling to a Carlos with a K or an EJ or some outsider we don't know.
Right.
The poll's getting a little tighter now.
He took Tennessee Tech lightly,
mm-hmm.
and he had a sloppy win.
Yep.
He came into work today, but came out of the tunnel kind of like unfocused.
Yeah, and thank God you're clean and in regular Boyle clothes.
That was huge. Had you slept, well, would we have given him a break if he slept in the couch in the back?
No, because then that would have again been the bad decision of not going home, staying at tennis too long. He did almost everything right. He went home at a regular time, cleaned himself finally, put on normal non-$150 clothes, and then he messed up the alarm.
Moose brought up a good point. Not Mark Malusis, our Moose.
So many Mooses.
The DA show. Listener, you spent $320 on outfits the last couple of days to save on tolls. And the tolls would have been, as he put out, less than $100 in tolls.
I did want the outfits, though. And I may or may not have bought them either way. But doing that, maybe subconsciously, I had to give myself a reason to spend that money. Because maybe, yeah, I'd walked in before and I was like, is it really worth it? I was like, I play tennis like twice a week. So I was like, you know, it'd be nice playing in the gear that the pros actually wear. But I was like, maybe not. And then when it was 2:30 a.m. and I'm on the Long Island Expressway coming back into Manhattan, and I'm like, do I go home? Do I just sleep at the station? I was like, yeah, now I have to buy that Nike maroon abstract design shirt and the matching shorts. I have to.
Looked like a trapper keeper from fourth grade for me. So Pat dropped $150 day one to buy an outfit at the U.S. Open, $170 yesterday, $320 on two outfits. If I was forced to buy something at the U.S. Open to wear, I'd try to find the cheapest polo and the cheapest set of shorts and just try to get out of there with $50 per.
On the second day.
Maybe $60 per.
Yeah, on the second day, you could have quickly taken the train like one or two stops in either direction to a Target or something and bought regular clothes.
That's really true. Yeah, that's right.
Bought a new outfit.
There is a Target not far from there.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done any number of things shy of spending ridiculous amounts of money on your new dry fit matching ensemble. It didn't have to be like this. But now, at least it makes sense that you wanted these outfits, that you just didn't think this was the best plan. You were kind of backdooring your way into overspending on tennis clothes.
There you go.
That makes a little more sense.
You got to have a means to justify the...
I've done that.
What is it? Justify the means or means to justify the means?
Ends justify the means.
There you go.
Yeah. The end justify the means.
The means to justify the end.
Yeah, something like that.
What is it?
The sheep in wolf's clothing. We've battled with that one too on this show. But you're just trying to rationalize the purchase.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That makes more sense than just, again, thinking this was the cool thing to do.
No, if I was just desperate to get to not smell disgusting and, from under, I probably could have just bought, a $50 or $40 U.S. Open t-shirt.
Steven in South Carolina, this may have been decided already because I'm currently battling a kidney stone, but does this mean Pat has to do a side C? That is a traditional punishment around here. We'll have to decide that. I wonder if this doesn't help Pat in some ways, though, because it shows this streak of unpredictability, which we seem to enjoy in that position.
I mean, we do need some new storylines. So if, there's an occasional... Again, I assume Boyle would come in from a night at the bar, maybe smelling a whiskey
thing.
And perfume.
I know. This is the reason why sucked.
I know. But I think those reasons still exist down the road. There still is a Tuesday in November where Boyle was out watching, whatever Monday Night Football game was the night before. Things got out of hand.
Yeah.
Numbers were exchanged.
Bartender flirted with him.
Exactly. And you just come straight here from work.
Suddenly he ends up in Yonkers at 4 a.m.
Right. And then we probably still get Taco Bell breakfast out of that because he's hungover, needs some grease. So I win again. Yeah, all right.
So you would like me to have even less regard for the job.
No. I think we want you to maintain this level of regard because it will occasionally lead to hiccups. A Boyle's blunder, if you would.
But the vote for me and Bogues doesn't mean nearly as much as Pete. And Pete's not going to take
tough
that
audience.
Bait. That's not going to work with
me. No.
We need a streak of unpredictability.
You got to be here.
Pete never responded to my my response.
The freeze out has already happened. Bogues has headlines.
Pete's got his big board out. He's readjusting names.
That's right.
Chris Jones is still holding out, and maybe he and the Chiefs are $9.5 million apart in negotiations. And Travis Kelce's knee is now hurt. Not the way the Chiefs wanted to begin their season tomorrow night against the Lions. Kelsey's issue called a bone bruise this morning on NFL Network. The assumption remains all his ligaments are okay. No matter what, Kelsey is very much in doubt for opening night. Carl Nassib announced his retirement this morning, calling the decision bittersweet. He played last season for the Buccaneers. Nassib is best known for becoming the first openly gay player in the NFL. That announcement was back in 2021. Duke at number 21, Colorado at 22, ranked after their impressive wins over the holiday weekend. The AP Top 25 still begins with Georgia and Michigan, but now followed by Alabama, Florida State, and Ohio State. Jose Altuve hit three more home runs last night at Arlington after two on Monday. He is the fourth player ever with five long balls in six plate appearances, and he's the first since at least 1961 to go deep in four consecutive innings, the ninth on Monday, then the first three yesterday. His Astros cruising to a 14-1 win over the Rangers. The Mariners were 7-6 losers in Cincinnati, so Houston leads Seattle by one game, Texas by two in the AL West, and the Rangers currently out of a wild card spot as well, a half game behind the Jays, who were 7-1 winners in Oakland. The O's topped the Angels 5-4 in 10 in Anaheim. After the Rays, down the Red Sox 8-6 in 11, so 3.5 games remain between Baltimore and Tampa Bay in the AL East. Meanwhile, the Twins lead in the Central has never been bigger.
And the 2-2 line drive, center field coming on, is not going to be caught. It's missed by Straw. It rolls behind him. That's going to roll all the way to the warning track. One run scores, two runs score, three runs will score. Solano's going to make third base. He breaks it open, and the Twins lead.
8-3 at that point. That was the final as well in Cleveland, as heard on Twins Radio. Minnesota is now a season-high 7 games clear of Cleveland. The Cubs rallied for an 11-8 win over the Giants, but the Brewers were 7-3 winners in Pittsburgh, so Milwaukee keeps its 2.5-game lead in the Central. The Dodgers losing in Miami 6-3, and the D-backs took a 3-2 home loss from the Rockies, dropping a game behind the Reds for the last NL wildcard. 10th-seeded Francis Tiafoe knocked out of the U.S. Open quarterfinals last night by fellow American Ben Shelton in four sets. At 20 years old, Shelton, the youngest American man to reach the semis here since Michael Chang in 92. As thrilling as it could be in September in Manila with little on the line, Germany outlasted Latvia 81-79 to reach the FIBA World Cup semifinals. It'll be Team USA on Friday. And the WNBA season is now 40 games long, the longest it's ever been, allowing some records to be broken. New York's Breanna Stewart set the single-season scoring mark during her 40-point effort in last night's win in Dallas, and Connecticut's Alyssa Thomas now owns the assists record after last night's win over the Sparks. DA, back to you.
When I die, I want to come back as the brain, the creative brain of Cap. Right now, the joke on the chats is that Pete's cold front has run through and he's freezing out Boyle. And Cap has created a meme where Boyle, or I should say Pete, is frozen in a block of ice in the middle of Siberia, smiling as he pushes his cold front. Now, it turns out that Nancy Meraz has weighed in.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy is still a D-alien, which I love.
Yep.
And she is watching the show, and she is commenting on Twitch. I'm not doing Bob things is her handle.
Yep.
And Nancy says, no call, no show, no job.
Whoa.
That's Nancy saying that. Pat, no show, no job. And then when Pat weighed in, I'm here, friends. She then writes, Pat seems responsible to his job. I am worried. And I don't really know what that means. I don't know if she meant irresponsible. Don't know that part. But she's weighing in.
She would like us to believe, don't forget, that whatever Sean's mental deficiencies are come from Bob the Deli Man's side.
Right.
But that is a sentence Sean would write. It kind of is correct, but it's not necessarily correct. It also doesn't fit into like the timeline of the comments. It also seems to contradict the original no call, no show, no job.
Yeah.
Because I read the second sentence, Pat seems responsible to his job. I am worried as a concern for Pat because he normally would have showed up. Yeah. Something must have bad happened to him. So she goes from saying he can't have this job to I hope he's okay. Where is he? This is unlike him.
But this is the type of storyline this has become. Everybody's invested. And we appreciate Pat for sleeping through that segment because it gave us a good storyline.
There are guys outside in the newsroom that were not supposed to be here. They're just here doing work to show that they can come in when they're not supposed to be here.
And right now, you should see Carlos with a K's apartment. Oh, my God. It's one huge celebration. It looks like New Year's Eve. He's got champagne, confetti all over the place. He's eating all those military meals. He just got them spread out all over the entire couch.
And coming off the Juanita story over the weekend, this is what he needed.
He needed a lift.
He needed a lift. He needed a bounce back.
You should see EJ. It's like the Knicks won the NBA Finals. Guy is partying right now.
This is better than the Commissioner's Cup.
When we come back, advanced analytics and your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
All right, so Brian Kelly was on his own radio show saying we're going to beat the heck out of Florida State last week. Then, when countered with that after the loss, said, I never said that. Does Brian Kelly not remember saying it, or does he just like lying? 82% of you say, he's just a liar. Now, data tells us that Brian Kelly certainly has a history of doing it. Back in 2009, he said he wasn't leaving Cincinnati, only to leave for Notre Dame a few days later. Former Notre Dame quarterback Phil Jurkovec said that Brian Kelly basically lied to his face of his parents when he recruited him about the role he would have. And no drug is available for the treatment of pathological lying. Psychotherapy may work. The patient may start telling lies to the therapist, thus undermining this treatment option. Who knows if Brian is even his real name? Let's get to your epic fail, boys and girls. Pat Boyle slept through the alarm clock today.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
A man from Florida tweets in, man, I think Boyle going MIA this morning because of the U.S. bleeping open should actually solidify this job. Seriously, who does that? You have to hire him full time.
You come off as a beta. You come off as a loser.
Did you go back to Flushing Meadows yesterday after the show?
I did.
Okay, no shower, again, stinky clothes. You went out there after the show. Did you buy new clothes again?
I did.
Okay. How much did you spend on those clothes?
$170.
Okay.
You spent $325 over the last 3 days for two U.S. Open outfits?
That would be correct.
He needs this full-time job badly now.
The Islanders have the best goalie in hockey. Yes.
So he buys this new outfit. How long do you stay at the U.S. Open yesterday?
I left at 7 o'clock.
P.M.
Correct. No. No, I stayed to send in the rundown for the show. So whenever I sent that email, it was like 7:45 or 8 o'clock. I sent that and I left.
Then you end up going home for the first time in a week.
First time since Sunday.
Okay, so you end up going home. You finally take a shower.
Yes.
The first thing you did?
Yes.
Okay. You finally put on clean clothes.
Ring out Ohio with an MU rah rah. Hey, MU rah rah. Hey, MU rah 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 rah.
And what time do you get to bed?
So we had our fantasy league draft at 10. Carlos with a K, who's in that league, I guess can vouch. Not that it matters, could vouch. We started that at 10 o'clock. That ended, I want to say, it was pretty quick, like 11:05, 11:10. And I was alarms on, in bed, ready to knock out. Even debated maybe some entertainment videos, if you will.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Entertainment videos. Dixieland Dan on the ill-fated Barcelona flight. Tweeting, just imagine what the airline did for those people in the aisle. Quote, hey, we're sorry you almost got painted like a Picasso. Here's a voucher for a free small fry with a purchase of two Chick-fil-A Sandos at the food court. A lot more, I'm sure, on what happens, the fallout around Boyle on the PGP, which we will record after the show today. Thanks to Pat Boyle, executive producer of 3 of the 4 hours of today's radio program. Thanks to Billy Giacalone of the Wheels of Steel and executive producer of the first hour of the program. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.